This morning, we are going to talk about building our most holy faith. And myself, along with my esteemed co-teacher here, Cody, we will be, over the course of this quarter, be talking about building our most holy faith. And we will be tag teaming. So today you get me, and then you get the best next week. So when we talk about faith, what comes to mind? If anybody can tell me what faith means? Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. That was a kind of a trick question, because without me giving you some context, how are you going to define it? That's like if I say, I'm going to go to the, I need to go visit the ADA. Am I talking about the American Dental Association, or am I talking about the assistant district attorney? I got to give you either some context or some definition in order for you to know what I'm talking about. So before we launch into this discussion on faith, we will open up with a word of prayer for our lesson, and so that we can proceed with God's blessing and clarity of mind. So let us pray this time. Father God, we come to you thanking you. Thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful God to us, Father. We thank you for blessing us with a new day of life on today, Father. We thank you for blessing us to be in attendance on today, ready, willing, and able to worship you in spirit and in truth on today, Father. Father, we ask that you will forgive us of the sins that we've committed, and that you will help us to do better and to be better as we go throughout the remainder of this day. Father, we ask that you will be with us as we embark upon this study of your word, Father. We ask that that you will enlighten us, Father, as to what you would have us to glean from this study, Father, and that everything will be done in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable in your eyesight. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we appreciate this opportunity to come together as your children, Father, to study another portion of your word. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, we pray and ask all things. Amen. All right. So, our most holy faith. When we talk about faith, let's see if the clicker is going to work here. I don't think the clicker is working. There we go. We see that we have various definitions. If I were to go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The first thing that comes up is an allegiance or duty, or allegiance to duty or a person, kind of like loyalty. For instance, we lost faith in the company's president. Fidelity to one's promises, which is a sincerity of intentions. I acted in good faith, or I'm going to give you a letter in good faith. Then we come to belief and trust and loyalty to God, which is a belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. And most of the world, especially in our society today, define it as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. And we term this as blind faith. So the atheist and the evolutionist would say to us, how can you believe in God? No proof of that. You just take it, there's no evidence. Can you prove to me there's a God? And they look at us as having blind faith. Of course, we turn it around and we use our biblical definition, God's definition of faith, and we say, well, we don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Because God, he defines it, it is evidence. And I think our brother stated it, it is the substance, right? If we go to, what was that, Hebrews 6? Hebrews 11:1. So faith is the substance of things not seen, evidence. So we know that from God's definitions that biblical faith is preceded by knowledge. We cannot possess biblical faith until we know, we come to the knowledge of God. Faith cannot outrun knowledge. It is dependent upon knowledge. We see this in Romans 10:17. Only after we examine the evidence and then we look at that evidence with the right reasoning that we can come to a understanding of biblical faith, as we stated, Hebrews 11:1-3. Can you read that for us again? You're just quoting it, huh? From memory. Keep going, 1-3. Okay, so if we were to break down that scripture, we can see that we understand, even though we weren't here at the time that God created the world, we can see his evidence, the evidence of him creating that. We can see different laws he put into place. We can talk about the laws of first, second, laws of thermodynamics. We could talk about all these evidences. Who here has seen Genesis? Is Genesis history? They go through for those who haven't, it is a wonderful, it's not put on by the church, but it's a group of scientists. They look at everything from archaeology to weather patterns to animals, biology, all of those disciplines, and they can determine, because you have two prevailing. One is, there was one thing that involved into many things. The other is, God created each category of things, right? And so when we look at, okay, how do we test these two theories? Does one violate a law that we have in place? Some scientific principle? Yes, it does. We don't get, God said, let there be different types of birds, let there be different types of animals, let there be different types of plants, and let each one produce after its own kind. We see that law, and we term that law of biogenesis, and I say, okay, let's see if that holds true. So we look at the animal world, and we see a cat giving birth to three dogs. Nobody's seen that, right? Cat gives birth to a cat. Dogs give birth to dogs. Maybe different types of dogs, but they're dogs. That doesn't get violated. Evolution says, hey, everything came from one kind, and we get all of these many kinds based upon that one. That one original kind. We don't see any evidence of that. So what do we have faith in? God's, we have faith in God's explanation of how things came into the world. And that's just one thing that we look at. But as we go through our study, we see in the Bible that we have God using the word faith in three different contexts. When we look at the faith, if you do for those of you who have the electronic versions of Bibles, if you just do a search on faith, you'll get a big hit list. But in each instance, it's not used the same. First of all, when God talks about faith, he talks about it from a belief standpoint, and it's used for personal faith. We can look at the woman of Syrophoenicia, Matthew 15:28. We can look at the disciples in the storm. This is where they were in the boat with Jesus. And storm came, and Jesus is laying in the boat, and they're worried about drowning. And so they exchanged some words with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Oh, you have little faith." When we look at the centurion, came to Jesus in Luke 7:9, and he had a problem that he wanted Jesus to solve. And he said, "All you got to do is speak, and my servant will be healed." And so we see that Jesus, in each instance, he says, "Hey, you have great faith, little faith." We can see some people with no faith. And so it's a personal thing. And I'm not getting into, because that'll be going into my brother's lessons for next week, I'm not getting into the exploration of personal faith, but just to let you know that God talks about, when he talks about faith, he talks about personal faith as well. The next is the system of faith. And this is where we see in Galatians 3:23-25. Can somebody get that for me, please? Galatians 3:23-25. Okay. Somebody get for me Ephesians 4:5.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And somebody else get for me Jude 3. Okay, so this is as was read, we can see this is clearly not talking about personal faith. We're talking about the faith, one Lord, one baptism. Well, if we're not talking about a personal faith, when he says one faith, whose faith is it? Yours, mine, somebody else's? It logically doesn't fit. So this is the system of faith. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is his word. And he contrasts in Galatians, he's talking about the faith coming after the law. And he contrasts the law. The law he's talking about with the Old Testament, and he's talking about our New Testament system of faith. When people get confused because they interchange faith, person, one's personal faith, with the system of faith. And as we go throughout this study, we will be mainly focusing on one's personal faith and not the system of faith, but rather how we interact with the system of faith. And it'll become more clear as we continue. Now, the third way God talks about faith is used for obedience. And we see John 3:16, most people can quote that. We see that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for those who believe. And in the religious world, those who believe in God, they go to John 3:16 and they say, here it is. All you have to do is have faith. Not realizing, not diving deeper into what does that mean here? What is this belief? What is this faith in this context? He's talking about an obedient faith and not just a mental acknowledgement, a mental assent that, hey, I just believe in God. Somebody give me Numbers chapter 20, verses 10 through 12. Anybody have it? Numbers. All right, Cody.
And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them."
All right. So before we read this, if I were to ask you, hey, did Moses and Aaron believe in God? Did they? Yes. They believed in God. They spoke to God. They were doing various commandments. However, because they disobeyed God when it came to getting water out of the rock, God called them disbelievers. And it's important as we go through the rest of this quarter that we see how God views and ties in this concept of faith with obedience. If we say that we believe, but we don't obey, in God's sight, we don't really believe. We don't have faith. Romans 10, 13 to 16. Somebody get that for me, please. Okay, here's that evidence again. How can you have faith if you haven't heard? And if you haven't heard, how can you obey? Yes, sir. I got you. And that is true. You're still a Christian, but we're going to get to the latter part of this lesson. We're going to look at Judah. And just when we look at Moses and Aaron, when they struck the rock, what did that keep them from doing? But what else? So it kept them from going into the promised land. And because remember, they were charged with, hey, you're going to bring my people to the promised land, right? But when he disobeyed in this instance, the punishment was didn't get to go. And sometimes we have this, we can have this attitude of, yeah, I know I sinned in this area, but no big deal. It's just a little sin. I'll just repent real quick and go on. I'm still a Christian. And while that is true, our attitude should be that any sin, every sin, causes God pain, heartache. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna make a little speculation here, but it's a proof of point.
Okay.
What if Moses struck the rock the second time because he didn't think speaking to the rock would be emphasis enough to have the anger that he felt toward the Israelites?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think we know better than God does about how it needs to be done and how it will affect other people and how to do it.
Exactly. And when we do that, we do just like Moses did. They demonstrated in God's eyes a lack of faith, a lack of belief in God. They felt that they needed to, God's word was not powerful enough. God's instruction was not powerful enough to get the children of Israel to act right. They felt that they had to add something, to interject something in order to make them do what was necessary. Yes, sir. That's right. If we aren't careful, we can fall into a trap of glorifying ourselves, leaning upon our own understanding, and not submitting ourselves to God to give him the glory. And we're going to see some examples of that in a few minutes here. The last thing I wanted to do to tie this concept of faith, of belief, with obedience is John 3:36. Can somebody get that for me, please, and read that? You might have it. All right. So a cursory reading of this would say, oh, okay, those two, who believes and who believes not, that's the same thing we're talking about. No, it's really that first belief, the word, the Greek word there is pisteo, is to think to be true, to trust, to have faith in, as we've been discussing. But the second word, believe, is translated, it's a different Greek word, and is apatheo, to disobey. So you can see he's tying this concept of belief in him with obedience. Faith and obedience, it's a close connection. And as we go throughout our study here throughout this quarter, we're going to help, hopefully, prayerfully, we help ourselves to continue to build our faith. It is our responsibility to build our faith. Guy in Wood says, to believe on the Son is to obey the Son. This word believes that we just read here signifies a faith that acts. If we believe, we're going to act accordingly. Mental assent is not true biblical faith and is nowhere reckoned as such. Belief, faith, blesses only when it leads the professor of that belief to obedience. So getting into the thrust of our lesson here for the rest of the quarter. John says, this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Faith is our part in our journey to heaven. We are saved by grace through faith. Romans 5:1. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Jude 20. So it is imperative for us to build our faith. I read it once where God said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when we build our faith, it is not us working our way into heaven. It is our responsibility, our response of this great gift of grace that we have. And one other thing that I did not put in my slides here, there are some that believe that faith is a gift, and is not a gift. It is not a gift of God. We have to build our faith. It is our responsibility. God can help us with it. And he does so by giving us the scriptures and the evidence that we are to examine. But we are to do this. We had some comments about what if we add something to God's word, add some flavor, add something that we think people will respond to or handle something in a way that God did not prescribe. Well, let's answer that by looking at some people who did this. You know, let's look at Judah. They abandoned their faith. So for the remainder of these 15 minutes that we have here, we're going to look at how there's roughly 10 ways that Judah abandoned her faith that we can kind of glean and look at in today's society, and sometimes we can fall into this trap as well. So Judah had forgotten and forsaken God. In Jeremiah 2 and 13, it says that these things, and it only mentions these two, but of course, chapters 2 and 3 go into details of their idolatry and adultery. They've forgotten and forsaken God. How did they forget him? How does one forget God? All right. Sister Katie said, just going off on your own, not even thinking about God, not even thinking about what he's saying. How does one forsake God? Mm-hmm. Okay. If anybody know what Judah was doing at this time? Idolatry? What is idolatry? What is that? Mm-hmm. I had a client, and they built a facility in Thailand, and so we were going to go down. I had to first incorporate that location into the system, and then we had to go make a couple of visits down there to train that office. In Thailand, they worship Buddha, and it's a different Buddha than the Chinese Buddha. Every statue I see when I was in Thailand, that Buddha is slender and laying down. In China, he's a little robust and sitting up cross-legged, right? It's Buddha. How come you have two different concepts of Buddha here? So, but long story short, they have these statues to Buddha, and this is a new facility. Before they can actually allow the employees in there, every company that operated in this vicinity, they had to get the blessings of the monks, the priest. And so they go through this ceremony and everything, and even the hotel at which I stayed at, they had a little statue of Buddha. And I felt bad when I would come out my hotel, because it was just an opulent hotel, just gorgeous. And they had the little statue in the courtyard. And every morning, the monks, the priests, would bring a platter of fruit and different foods to make this offering to Buddha. So let's say the statue's here, the little altar is there, and right over here, yeah, it's about right, you have a little mother with a couple of little kids, and I would say maybe one is barely walking, another one is walking, but not too steadily. Another one is maybe about 4. The little toddler barely walking, no clothes on. The other one is in diapers. The other one just has a shorts and no shirt. And they have these cups, tattered cups, and they come in up to all the tourists and begging for money. They sleep. Further down, you can see where they were sleeping in these makeshift cardboard boxes. And further down the street, you can see where some were holed up in these little shanties and stuff. They're starving. And here, the priests are offering food, an inanimate object that can do nothing for them. A man-made object based upon a man-made religion that has no power whatsoever. And here they are feeding this thing, and God's creation is going without any food. Judah. they refused to listen to God, to the word of God, Jeremiah 6:10. Much like today, when people refuse to listen to the word of God, they bring this destruction on themselves. Just like Judah did. When we look at Proverbs 28:9, we don't have time to read that, but if you read that in your spare time, you can see that it's not in us to direct our paths. Our paths, our ways, our form of thinking, just as Paul stated, Paul Hainer, not the Apostle Paul. We go off thinking, oh, this will work, this will work, this will work, this is the best thing to do. And we forget about, we don't listen to God. We demonstrate this lack of faith. And it will bring about our own destruction. Furthermore, Judah could not recognize her sin. And I will pose this to you. What's worse than sinning? Not recognizing that you have sinned. If you can't recognize you sin, if you can't accept that you have sinned, you can't repent. If you can't repent, you're lost. We can see various scriptures, Luke 13:3, Acts 2:38, so on and so forth. This godly sorrow, without knowing what sin really means, we in the church, we know what sin is. But think about those who are lost. Doesn't know what produces godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, according to 2 Corinthians 2:10, leads to salvation. Then there were those, Judah, who they were not ashamed of their sins. And they couldn't blush. Jeremiah 3:3 and 6:15. Do we see in today's society that some people are not ashamed of their sin? In fact, proud of it? Sometimes we can be like that. If we don't watch ourselves, anybody in here would consider themselves an adulterer? I would. I've committed adultery. And I'm not talking about, because immediately what comes to mind is a spouse. But someone greater than a spouse, we're supposed to have a covenant relationship with. But when we rely upon something else, put someone else ahead of God, trust and have faith in that, in lieu of God, that's committing adultery. We don't like to picture ourselves as label ourselves that because of the negative connotations it brings and the negative feelings it brings to us. But in essence, that's what we do. That's what God called Judah. They were idolaters and adulterers. They deluded themselves with falsehoods. When people are walking the wrong path, Satan makes it easy for them to believe that everything is just fine. You have those in a religious world who say, hey, homosexuality is a normal thing. It's a natural thing. Embrace it. Love those. God accepts them. He loves everybody. God does love everybody. But love doesn't equal tolerance to everything. many of you, in fact, all of you, if I were to say, do you love your kids? For those who have kids, you would say yes. But you wouldn't tolerate any and everything that they did, because that's not true love. Jeremiah says, or God says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? He's talking about the leaders, the priest, and the people in this passage. You got false prophets teaching untruths. You have leaders who are corrupt, and the people love it. And I'm not picking on any political affiliation, but when I hear our president getting up on national TV cursing, what makes him think that it's okay to curse on in national television for someone in his office? Doesn't that set the tone for everybody else? If you disagree with somebody, it's okay to curse them out. When he calls people names, what kind of tone does that set when you have, especially those who are not religious, they see, hey, the person who's holding the highest office in our land can call people names just because he don't agree with them. What tone does that set for the American people? I'm going to say this, and then we'll quit. Not only did the leaders deal falsely, but everybody dealt falsely with one another. We got this division going on here in the U.S. Fake news, slanted news, all causing division, all trying to sway somebody. And I'm not saying there's nothing true in the news. I'm just saying that when people put out these things, and there's an investigation going on about how Russia is tampering with the election process, all of these things are designed to get us away from our faith. This Black Friday just happened, and there's news reports of people fighting each other, trying to get some material thing. Judah had that problem. What happened? It led to their destruction. I've run out of time, but when we look at how we don't, if we abandon our faith, if we stop building on it, if we just let it go by the wayside, we will fall in some of the same traps that Judah did. It's not too hard, and we can see signs of it here in the U.S. We can see signs of it even amongst ourselves. So our prayer is, my prayer is, that we continue to build our faith and continue to do what God would have us to do. I thank you for your kind attention, and we will reconvene next week.